The new president of the United Nations Human Rights Council, Luis Alfonso de Alba, has been speaking to Open Democracy about the challenges the council faces. It was set up after the previous UN human rights body, the UN Commission, was discredited and had outlived its usefulness. So will the Human Rights Council fare any better? The politicisation of human rights remains a risk, and the council has already been criticised for allowing countries with a doubtful record on human rights to become members. When he came through London recently, I asked Ambassador Luis Alfonso de Alba what effect that would have on the Council's work.
Well, it would be very difficult for a member violating human rights to become member. First of all, because the new institution has an absolute majority that needs to be achieved at the General Assembly level in order to get elected. They need to campaign also on the basis of their own record on human rights, and the countries need to make pledges. So it's difficult for a violator to get there. It's more difficult than before, at least, because the new majority, the absolute majority, not the simple. The second element is that the new council may suspend the rights of any of its members if it considers that it is violating human rights. So that makes also, it's kind of a guarantee that you may not have or you should not have cross violators there. But also the new tools give us the possibility to address the situations in different ways so that every member and non-member will go to a scrutiny, to a review process of its record of human rights within a certain cycle. We are still defining what is going to be, how it's going to be done, etc. But this is another tool that the Council will have in order to try to get the right composition of the Council on one hand, but most importantly, the review of the situation of every country, regardless of whether it is a member of the Council or not.
You are, though, it seems to me, relying on the member states to put aside their own political concerns and think in direct terms about human rights in a non-political way. This is really rather optimistic, is it not, in terms of the way the UN works and in terms of the way member states behave. So far, the Council itself has also been accused of taking a rather political approach. The first two issues it looked at were both strong criticisms of Israel, rather like the old Council. What evidence is there that this new mechanism is really going to deliver a different approach?
Well, first of all, I think that the special sessions that the Council held on the situation, particularly the situation in the Middle East, in Palestine, were fully justified. The main concern is not whether we needed to address those issues or not. The question is whether we needed to address other issues as well, because that's, to my mind, that's the main problem of selectivity. It's not addressing a particular situation such as the Gaza situation or the attacks on Lebanon. The question was why we didn't address the question of Iraq or the question of Sudan. The Council has already addressed the question of Sudan through a special session, and we had the Sudanese question from the very first meeting of the Council in June. But the procedures, the rules of the game, if you want, do not facilitate an automatic consideration of situations in the world. You need a group of countries to propose the discussion of a particular issue, whether through a resolution in a regular session, whether by calling a special session. To call a special session within the Council is much easier than what it used to be, a special session of the Commission, because now you only need a third of the members to call for that session, but you still need a third of the members to call the session. So whenever people ask why the Council is not addressing a particular issue, it means that there is no one third of the membership that is ready to call for that meeting. The President of the Council has no authority to call for a meeting, neither the High Commissioner of Human Rights or the Secretary General. So we still rely on countries. And coming back to your question, that's exactly the point of modifying, changing the minds within governments is quite important, because if governments do not understand that a new culture needs to be built, a culture that will need to start by building more confidence among the countries themselves, and also making sure that human rights become part of the priorities of the international agenda, as well as security, as well as development, that it is not something in parallel, something you can or not pay attention to. So if you combine the two elements, a different culture, different attitude on the countries, and better use of the new tools, the Council should be able to address situation everywhere in the world. We were able to address situation as the religious defamation, for instance, even though the resolution is a modest one, but still the discussion was very positive, interactive dialogue with special rapporteurs. We also address very difficult situation, very complex situation, as the situation in the Guantanamo detention center. We also have interactive dialogue with the special rapporteurs that produce a very substantive report. Member states, NGOs were invited to take part of those discussions. So I think this is the beginning of a new process on which you have to have in mind that it's a step-by-step process, that the consideration of issues will not necessarily lead on an automatic basis to a resolution every time you discuss an issue, but you will have some kind of follow-up, and basically you will be able to discuss ways and means to prevent violations or to sanction violations whenever they occur.
Without wishing to be too cynical about the way international diplomacy works, it is a general rule that the more power bodies have, the smaller and the more closed they are. And conversely, the more open the debate and the broader the participation, the less power bodies have. Is this something that could afflict the Council, that if you do manage to pursue this open debate, if you do manage to be even-handed in the issues you address, that you will not be given the powers really to deal with the problems?
Well, I really don't believe in a small membership. You have several examples within the United Nations, and the tendency, the trend is toward larger membership in all bodies, including the Security Council. We are fighting for an expansion of the Security Council because international relations are becoming more democratic, and you cannot go against the democratic trend in international affairs. It's going to take quite a long time because democracy is not very well. Much it is not very appreciated by the biggest powers, ironically. Today, you have to choose between polarized voting procedure in order to take decision or the building of consensus decisions. I think we should go into in a middle ground. We have to take a middle ground approach. Polarized resolutions, which have half of the membership on one side, almost half, and the other, do not help to because if you do not have an important number of countries, and in some cases key countries, to be part of a decision, the decision becomes very difficult to implement. On the other hand, if you only pursue consensus resolution, you give a veto power to countries, and vetoes are not good, neither in the Security Council, even less on human rights issues. Vetoes can be used by any country on both extremes of the scenario. So the importance is to build majorities, and to build majorities that will have a political strength on their own, because you will not only have a majority numerically, we need to have majorities that will be able to integrate members from different regions, different thinking.
The last decade, shall we say, has seen a deterioration internationally in human rights, in large part due to the fact that countries that previously upheld those standards have themselves become violators. What do you think you can do as president of this very new body to try to reverse, to ameliorate this rather depressing decline?
Well, I think I have contributed already, not as president of the Council, but as ambassador of Mexico, and my country has contributed because we introduced a resolution 4 or 5 years ago specifically on the need to protect human rights in the fight against terrorism. it is particularly the fight against terrorism who has produced a setback on human rights protection. And as president of the council, I think I can help. I can promote not only the full compliance with obligations and commitment by all member states, but a much better coordination of the efforts that need to be in place, not for a government not to go back on their own commitments, and even to go further, because whenever we talk about obligations or commitments, some of these countries are referring only to legally binding instrument that they have already signed and ratified. I think the Council has an opportunity to go beyond that, once again because of the Universal Periodic Review, because it will not be logical that we review the situation in every country, assuming that we are going to do it in a fair manner, and we are going to judge a country only on the basis of whether he has explicitly committed itself to a treaty or not. I think the system should evolve, developing universal minimum standards on every single area of the human rights protection, regardless of ratification of the instrument. And certainly the treaty bodies in charge of following the compliance with the specific treaty bodies will continue to do its work with their own member state, state parties. But the Council has an opportunity to complement that gap that may happen because of strict interpretation of what the commitments and obligations are.